Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome. It's Law Crimes. Yay!
Hello, everyone.
And we're
Hello.
All united once again because we've got Eli with us, our bouncing baby boy. We love Eli.
Yay.
How was your honeymoon, buddy?
It was wonderful. I know I said China number one, but I have to rescind my statement and lose some social credit. Japan is now number one.
Oh, no. Okay. Yikes. I did see DJ Beast in the comments. It's already said the slander is locked in and ready. So
but the entire time I was streaming Space Marine before this, it was just Colin slander.
I wasn't even there. I joined at the end just for fun because your friend told me, like, yeah, by the way, they're obliterating you. I'm not even here.
Well, today's topic, though, is not Warhammer 40K, but today is a bit of a fun one, though. This is my favorite topic. This is my absolute favorite topic of Warhammer Fantasy, the old world. I hate that it's the old world. Today is vampire counts. This is one of the coolest, without a doubt, one of the coolest things, other than Skaven, perhaps one of the coolest things in Warhammer Fantasy. Yes, the bed is made. Colin has been bullied into making his bed. I'm super excited about this one, though, because I mostly figured and I sort of learned about Warhammer from pretty much Warhammer Fantasy's like introduction to like vampire counts. So this is very full circle for me. Eli has prepared us a little lore tasting slash primer for Warhammer Vampire Count. If someone here is maybe just a 40k fan and they're not like that familiar, it's vampires. There's not really much more to say than that, but it's done in a much like cooler way and a lot of other things. It's not Twilight, thank God. But Eli, will you please lead the way? Light the torch.
Yeah. And Andy, can you put me in full screen? Can you do that? Is that a thing?
I think so. Let me just
camera just like blur for anyone else.
Yeah, but it'll.
How do I change? If I hold on, I've got an idea. If I just remove.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah, I gotta take my headphones off for a second. All right.
Oh my god, that's amazing!
For the audio listeners out there, Eli is dressed like a vampire.
I wanted to start with an excerpt from my favorite one of my favorite stories for the vampires. So I'm gonna read this little excerpt of my two favorite vampire characters. Once inside the classroom, I saw with relief that my table was still empty. Mr. Banner was walking around the room, distributing one microscope and box of slides to each table. Class didn't start for a few minutes, and the room buzzed with conversation. I kept my eyes away from the door, doodling idly on the cover of my notebook. I heard very clearly when the chair next to me moved, but my eyes stayed carefully focused on the pattern I was drawing. "Hello," said a quiet, musical voice. I looked up, stunned that he was speaking to me. He was sitting as far away from me as the desk allowed, but his chair was angled toward me. His hair was dripping wet, disheveled. Even so, he looked like he just finished shooting a commercial for hair gel. His dazzling face was friendly, open, a slight smile on his flawless lips, but his eyes were careful. "My name is Edward Cullen," he continued. "I didn't have a chance to introduce myself last week. You must be Bella Swan." My mind was spinning with confusion. Had I made up the whole thing? He was perfectly polite now. I had to speak. He was waiting, but I couldn't think of anything conventional to say. How do you know my name?" I stammered. He laughed a soft, enchanting laugh. Oh, I think everyone knows your name. The whole town's been waiting for you to arrive."
Mike can't hear it.
I grimaced. I knew it was something like that. "No," I persisted stupidly. "I meant, why did you call me Bella?" He seemed confused. "Do you prefer Isabel?" "No, I like Bella," I said.
"Still going.
I mean, Charlie, I mean, my dad must call me Isabella behind my back. That's what everyone here seems to know me as," I tried to explain, feeling like an utter moron. "Oh," he later looked away awkwardly. All right. I love Twilight.
What the hell is that? Eli, you took your headphones off, so
that was one hell of an intro.
It was muted the whole time, by the way.
Yeah, I got.
Oh dear. By the way, we also got a donation from Crimson Glory for $99.99.
Bless you.
Andy confirmed, handsome Giga Chad. Also, I've missed y'all, missed that past couple of live streams. Excited to hear why I should like Bloodsuckers along with Blood Spillers.
Thank you so much. Thank you. God. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Crimson Glory. Truly putting on chill.
I can't get over Eli with the teeth and just like.
Bloody shirt.
Bro, we need to dress up for Halloween. We have to dress up for Halloween. All of us.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And, I think Bloody Shirt Music had the setup to a joke. How do you tell the difference between a croc and a gator?
I used to know this.
Then HBL to BGN, the Vampire Outcast, Blood is replaced by raw eggs.
It's kidding me. Oh, for the audio, this is more like Eli is dressed like a vampire himself, full makeup, and he's also got vampire teeth in, and he just read an excerpt of Twilight.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Long say, you're telling me the book has worse dialogue?
Yeah.
And,
the books are even worse.
You know, I was pretty happy that I had gone all of my life not seeing a single or reading a single thing from Twilight, and we're not getting past that.
To be fair, my old flat, the pub next door across the road, they had a bunch of books. I remember one time I went in and had a pint, and in the books they had Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey. So I read a passage of each and went, it's not for me.
Good.
Also, 50 Shades of Twilight fanfic as well.
Exactly. But Raw 666 said, Eli is officially the most evil of the lore crims. He tortures... is cringe, and his favorite factions are the most evil factions of Warhammer: Skaven, Dark Elves, Chaos, and worst of all, Britonia. He didn't say Brit; he said Britonia.
Skaven's not my favorite faction, but Dark Elves, Chaos, and toast. Vampires are. Thank you, DJ Beast. Thank you, DJ Beast.
Love the decaying corpse in the top.
Oh my gosh!
And Tom Warren with the five. Eli is dressed as a vampire. Thought he was just trying out a new look.
Honestly, to be honest, I'd love to see Eli go to the gym dressed like that. See what happens.
Mm-hmm. My wife says this is making me look balder. Jeez. The camera angles. Yeah, I know, honey. That's just
the having to hold.
There you go.
I say, before we get into the vampire camps lore, do we have a shout out to who helped put the costume together?
Yes, my wife. She's. Let me see where
I'm wearing pajamas.
Hello, wife.
They say hello. Hello. He's waving.
Pajamas. I got my Dragon Ball shirt on.
That just reminds me of Toy Story. Oh, he's holding up Buzz's separate hand. Just see it waving.
Love you too. Oh, my God. Parker Summerlin, thank you for the $9.99. Which leader would you rather follow into battle? Captain America, Rob Booty Girlyman, or Optimus Prime? Optimus Prime. P.S. Eli, how much do I have to pay you to talk with a vampiric accent for a whole stream? Not very much. I would do that for a dono. I would try, at least.
Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime, I'm ready to fight Megatron myself.
Yeah. Even as a storm threat, I would say Cap. I gotta go with Cap, because he's a good egg.
Optimus Prime. Look,
Prime is good egg, but I don't really know Optimus. He's like an associate. I'm like, I don't really know him, but like Cap, I'm like, all right, I'll follow you.
Peter Cullen could tell me to do anything, I'm pretty sure.
Big shout out to Michael Bay, Optimus Prime, executing surrendered prisoners
of war. Actually evil.
No, Optimus.
I'm just thinking of the whole, I'm about to come. Like, it's just
how much for Dracula? How much for Dracula flow recitation? A fair bit, I think.
Crimson Glory or an egg.
Thank you.
I got eggs. Oh, actually, I don't have any eggs right now. I'm sorry, bros. I just realized there's no eggs.
Is a blood egg a thing? I don't like get blood sausage.
I feel overstimulated by everything that just went on right now. That was a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Should we get into the vampires. All right. I have read my army book. I'm not an expert on the vampires because I'm not an expert on fantasy, but I've summarized the history of the vampires to the current date. But Angry Homunculus, Eli looking like he'll massacre the entire human race if anything happens to his wife. Correct. I need Dracula flow lore crimes. Don't we all? All right, I can start reading. It is a script this time, because like I said, I'm not an expert, so forgive me. But anyways, just to start, vampires in fantasy are a little different than regular vampires, because you can actually kill them. way easier than normal vampires. But
if you hit them hard enough, it will do them in.
But they still are really hard to kill just because they're super strong. They can be mortally wounded and are often taken out of action, but a lot of the times they come back, and when their strength is strong, the fell minions and undead will kind of conglomerate around them and be attracted like a beacon. That's just to start off. So, beginning of the vampires starts with Nagash. Nagash would originally lose to the priest kings in Mehakara, and later Niferata would find his book and become the first vampire along with her followers. Yes, I skipped all of Nagash lore. Colin can talk about it in a second. Then these vampires would also lose to the priest kings, then flee to Nageshazar. And using these damned creatures as his new generals, Nagash would fight a decade-long war with the priest kings, but lose again by a great general known as Alcazar, something like that. He would curse the vampires that failed him and later be slain by that general. And the vampires would flee all across the world to begin the rulership of undead kingdoms. That's the ancient history of the vampires. If Colin wants to add something, he certainly can.
Just a little bit about Nagash. How that came about was, you know, Nagash, I'm not going to go the whole thing about Nagash. We've talked about him before. But, you know, he invented necromancy, put all he learned into these nine books, the nine books of Nagash. He wasn't the best at naming, but, you know, they were good enough.
Such is the power of Nagash.
Such is the power of Nagash.
Such is the arrogance of Nagash.
And he enchanted them. So I don't think they can be destroyed, and else but a little bit of him in them as well. So no one but him can get the full use out of them. Yeah. But they're still incredibly powerful, potent magical artifacts. So when Nagash was defeated the first time, his Black Pyramid was still standing, and those books were in there. This woman named Neferata, who was in charge of watching Arcan, but she was a little bit of a bad egg, and she went into the pyramid, stole Nagash's research notes, and with a little bit of help from Arcan, I believe, used it to create the elixir of and then eternal life and became a vampire. Didn't have all the weaknesses yet, but they had the super strength. You got to drink blood to survive. Like they were like classic vampires. They hadn't been quite, Warhammerified or Vampire the Masqueradeified.
I thought it was slightly imperfect. That's why it's not quite as good as Nagash's one, because
that's
kind of a knockoff.
That's why the only Nagash can get the full thing out of it. Like Neferata, learned how to make vampires, but that you still got to drink blood to survive and all that stuff. Yeah. Some doesn't kill them yet though.
Yeah, I think the drinking blood was the main defect of Neferata doing it, right? Yeah.
That reminds me of the off-brand, Lay's like crisps. There's one that's off-brand one that's just called Legs.
Gosh. Good luck.
I'll be legs. Edgy and call him Goonfoot. Oh my gosh.
It's that cool thing. Ridiculous things about me.
TJP's called you Goonfoot for edging your forest.
Goonfoot.
That's Bilbo Baggins.
This is the skin of a killer. This is the skin of a killer pillar. I love Twilight.
So after that, Neferata makes the... shut up. I'm going to get Covenant Dance back. after that, Neferata makes a couple more people to the vampires, the original ones, Aberash, Usharan, little known fella who, I'm going to be real, I just completely forgot his original name, Vlad von Karstein. I just do not remember his OG name when he was
Vashanesh.
Thank you, Hal. Vashanesh. Just completely left my mind.
Don't worry, I wrote it down. I had to remember myself earlier.
These fellas are all about now. Nagash comes back, forcibly conscripts them to be his generals. The whole thing with Nagash and the Tomb Kings arising, dying, and then resurrecting comes back. And then a bit later on, Nagash comes back again, gets the vampires as his generals once more, but they weren't as good as he wanted them to be, and I guess to his credit, this was a somewhat reasonable criticism for once on his part, because a lot of them fled from his final battle with Sigmar. So in turn, He cursed them whatever random stupid weakness he just came to his mind. Now sunlight is a big no-no. Sigmar's holy power weakens them. All like the bloodline weaknesses have come about from whatever random garbage Nagash decided to curse them with. And just I do not think there was a single thing like as far as like why give this bloodline that weakness, Nagash, because fuck him. and that was that's kind of how the vampires turned into their modern incarnation. So I'll pass it to Eli. Hal, what are you taking over now?
Yeah,
I'm just going to do a brief. I'm reading the dialogue.
Yeah, there's some whack stuff in the chat right now. Let me.
I edged to World War II color videos in color.
Oh my god.
Let me go through a little bit more, and then we can read some donations. So going to the vampire counts now. Starts with Vlad, but firstly, it's in Sylvania. Sylvania is perhaps the most famous of all the vampire lands. It lies on the eastern fringes of Stirland, and normal humans do actually live there. These peasants live in constant fear, however, and take great pains to ward against the evils of the night. In the shadows, the vampires and undead creatures lurk, and across the empire, this land is known as a true place of evil. The Stirland tax collectors are supposed to be a fearless bunch, yet they even come in groups of 50 strong to collect the taxes, wearing amulets of Sigmar and more. The Von Karsteins were defeated long ago, but many still speak of these beings, saying that they are biding their time to wage war on the living once again. Now, the beginning of the vampire rule came when Otto von Drac lay on his deathbed. He despised Sylvanian's nobility as they despised him, and he denied all of them his daughter Isabella's hand in marriage. In his final days, he swore he would marry his daughter to a demon before choosing any of them, and while this oath may have been more just drama at the time, he would be brought to keep it. As a mysterious man entered the castle, handsome, by the way, striding into Otto's room without issue, this handsome nobleman bore cold, dead eyes, and the count perhaps regretted his oath, but nonetheless, he gave his blessing to marry Isabella. The count died pretty much the moment the ceremony was done. Now, Vlad's first act would be to toss Isabella's uncle, Leopold, out of the highest window of the castle, as he had been vying for her hand in marriage for a long time, and had always been denied by the brother who hated him. Vlad was an odd but actually good ruler. He never ate in the servants' presence, he never went outside, and he sent away the priests of Sigmar. The castle's servants were slowly replaced with hooded figures, and strange visitors would often enter the castle. Despite this, he was a fair and just count who was far less oppressive than Otto, so people didn't mind too much. He was also seen as a very mighty king, because when Bernhoff the Butcher and his veteran mercenaries rode into town demanding tribute, Vlad killed the entire group of them while his bodyguards watched. Over the span of 10 years, the nobles of Sylvania would eventually bend to the knee of Vlad, and those who didn't were overrun by undead or killed in strange accidents. During this time, Vlad also turned Isabella, who had come down with an incurable disease, saving his wife as he bestowed upon her the blood kiss. Which the blood kiss is how you turn into a vampire.
Can I just say something real quick? Two things quick. It is always so funny to me that Sylvania was such a just mess of a province that Vlad made it just objectively better. And everyone likes Vlad out of universe. In universe, mm-hmm. He's one of the most hated people in the setting. And even everyone was like, yeah, he made it better.
Mm-hmm.
Also because you mentioned it, your minder Stirlanders are barely human. Backwater shit ass province. Holy shit,
shout out to the moot being right next to the vampires the entire time.
They're still ignored most of the time because they're halflings, who cares.
DJB says Sylvania is Detroit. Sylvania become human.
I did play a halfling in a Warhammer Fantasy roleplay campaign, and I beamed an old lady in the head with a rock and killed her and sent her the Realm of Chaos immediately.
Very nice. Hello,
she was summoning a demon.
Hey, chaotic voices. Hey, chaotic.
Hello.
Cool. All right. Ooh. I think maybe this would be a time to read some donations before I go further.
Okie dokie. I'll pop them on.
Your Joe, Eli's hairline disappears when he looks into a mirror just like a vampire.
Jesus.
Thank you for the $5. Tom Warren, thank you for the $5. I hear a chandelier works really well at killing vampires. Yes. I don't remember the reference, though. Elizabeth Young, thank you for the $5. Howdy, brothers. Mm-hmm. Got to say, I love my vamps just as much, if not more, than my werewolves. Love all your content and always look forward to hearing you. Thank you very much. And then Document USA for $5. Thank you. My current project is kit bashing Magos Thankwall and his mount, the Rat Demter Gear Stripper. Wow.
Oh, this dude's got. We need to see pictures of this army.
He's in the freaking evil scientist lab lately.
My dude is crafting devious.
Yeah. All right. So back to it. Vlad would eventually begin to gain a great amount of respect throughout his land, and he held more control than any leader in the empire. In fact, many believed that he should be in line to be the emperor, for the Von Karsteins were actually an ancient family that could be traced back to the founding of the empire. For generations, the Von Karsteins ruled, and eventually the peasants began to notice that they were still ruling generations later. Witch hunters increased in number, but those who sought out Vlad would never return. The nobles of the land would be struck by the same disease that Isabella had and were returned to vampirism as well. The priests were driven out of town, and the dead began to pile on the edges of the towns because the priests of Mor take care of the dead, and Vlad got rid of them. Within Ostermark, a common of warpstone struck the capital, Mordheim, and Vlad was very swift to act, sending minions to collect as much of the resource as they could. A decade later, this warpstone was put to use as Vlad stood atop Castle Drakenhof and recited an incantation from one of the 9 books of Nagash. Fell sorcery swept across the land, awakening the countless dead that now inherited it. They rose and flocked to the count as he revealed to the world the truth of Sylvania. Vlad first fought the army of Talabakland in the Battle of Essen Ford. Before the battle began, he offered the people clemency if they were to surrender and utter destruction without mercy if they opposed him. They chose the latter and were decimated. Vlad and his vampire aristocracy overwhelmed them with hordes of dead and even Sylvanian peasants. Any soldiers that fell were simply risen again by dark magic, and as the enemy surrendered, Vlad was true to his word and killed all of them. It also goes to stand that it's hard to believe that the vampires don't just win all the time, because every battle they get all their losses back and more. But, you know, the empire can't fall. Right, well, would that be bad for them?
There's a pretty good reason why they lose. Only one person needs to die for the army to fall.
Yeah, I know. Sad. But anyways, Otilia General Hans... Otilia's General Hans Schlieffen went into a berserk rage at the sight, and he broke free of his captor. Like, he was mad that Vlad was killing all the people. He broke free of his captor at the time. He grabbed Vlad's swords and chopped the count's head off. Conrad, the crazy guy, then tore him limb from limb, and the nobles squabbled to find who would rule. That very night, however, Vlad returned and resumed the march. This would be a reoccurring incident as Vlad swept across the northern provinces of the empire. Time and time again, he would fall in battle, only to return a year, a month, a day, eventually just an hour later, and decimate the enemy force. He soon marched to the Reichland. The armies of the dead encircled Altdorf, which had been made into what they thought was an unbreakable fortress, but nothing they had labored for worked, and Vlad gave his usual offer, serve him in life or fight on and serve him in death. Ludwig, the Reichland's claimant to the imperial throne, actually wanted to surrender, but was convinced not to by the high priest of Sigmar. Felix Mann, the greatest thief of that age, was dispatched to steal Vlad's ring, and this he did, but what became of him is unknown, because apparently vampires in this world do actually sleep, so while all the vampires were sleeping in their caskets, he stole the ring.
I mean, vampires have always had sleepy times, just they sleep during the day.
I think a lot of it comes, and you know, I mean, I'm as aware biased towards Warhammer Fantasy, but I can't admit when GW just kind of took a grabby hand from another setting, and I think the vampire counts of a whole lot of Vampire the Masquerade in their DNA.
Do they have that thing where like they have to, they can only sleep or be near like Earth from their homeland or something like that? That's like a vampire.
There was where else but Gotrek and Felix, there was actually a vampire was explaining this to one of the characters. Like, sometimes sunlight, ash, immediately, you're done. Sometimes it just makes, you know, a little bit slow and sluggish, but they can walk around in the day without just, you know, dying. Sometimes, you know, brandishing like a effigy of Sigmar in front of one of them will just obliterate them. Sometimes it just does nothing. So it's like they all have the general weaknesses, but between like that's what I would put it. If you pick a vampire from Warhammer Fantasy, there's a decent odds they will be weakened by any given thing. But the degree of how weakened is variable from vampire to vampire. And so it's usually best to hedge your bets and probably don't fight a vampire to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was an episode of What We Do in the Shadows where they have like they have to get some of the soil from one of the vampires. He's like, Guillermo, we're going to my home country and we're getting some more soil to put in my coffin. Like, oh, love that show.
Oh, that's a really good show. A really good show. Miss it.
Excuse me. No. Where was I? I was talking about Vlad. His ring just got stolen. Yeah. Vlad woke up and was very mad, and he attacked as the legendary battle for Altdorf ensued. At the heart of it, all atop Altdorf's great battlements, the High Priest of Sigmar, Grand Theologian, dueled Vlad. The pious man began to tire against his unwavering foe, and as he saw that Vlad gained the upper hand, Wilhelm, the priest in question, charged the vampire, and they were flung off the walls. Vlad was impaled by the spikes that lay beneath and died, for without his ring, he had lost his dark power of regeneration. Sad. On hearing of her beloved's death, Isabella could not bear to live without Vlad. She impaled herself and turned to dust at the feet of Ludwig, becoming the final casualty of the battle. And as they say, still a better love story than Twilight. But it is actually a good love story. Isabella and Vlad, it makes a fella feel.
The finest of 2010 memes.
Yeah. So horrible was the death toll, though, that it was impossible to run down the retreating Sylvanians. And in the times to come, the other claimants to the throne would turn against Ludwig, fearing that his popularity would give him a chance of becoming emperor. So the lords of Sylvania recuperated and began to rise in power once more. For 40 years, the five claimants to Sylvanian's throne squabbled and fought. Three were slain, one, Manfred, disappeared, and this left the last, my sweet baby boy, Conrad the Animal von Karstein. Conrad is absolutely insane. The craziest guy in Warhammer, probably.
Guy named Conrad is insane. Who could have seen this one coming?
Yeah, they really did copy and paste a little bit, didn't they, though?
A little bit, but this guy's like actually a lunatic. He once ordered every crossbowman in the land to use every cat in the land as target practice. At least two times, he put entire peasant towns to the torch because they smelt bad. And lastly, he accused his mother of the crime of giving birth to him without his consent. And after finding her guilty, had her bricked up in a tower as an entombed alive. And that was that. He was
with the vampire. Like, if I say with all these, are they like adopted children of?
Yeah, they're not actual children, but these were all the nobles given the blood kiss by Vlad, so they like counted themselves as the bloodline.
I imagine, say, like Space Marines and Primarchs. Like Gilliman did not give birth to 250,000 Ultramarines. I don't know why I said Gilliman give birth. That's that would not be
a good picture. Worked. Someone draw that. Someone get on that.
Now draw him Gilliman birth. Someone get that Vegeta picture.
Oh my gosh.
But it's like they all say, like, yeah, the Primarchs are father. It's kind of like that. This is how I've imagined it.
Yeah. Also, I think Conrad did a lot of that stuff before he was actually a vampire. So he was like literally insane before he was a vampire. That. Yeah.
Could I, actually, perhaps a good time to mention?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, did Vlad turn Conrad into a vampire just because it was funny? Like, he's like, this guy is hilarious. Who
knows? The thing about vampirism is that it doesn't change your personality, but it amplifies it. Mm-hmm. So if you're already a little bit crazy, you're gonna go insane. Conrad was already insane, so
yeah,
he started bawling out even harder.
Conrad did have one big flaw, other than insanity, is that his brain wasn't really big enough for magic, so he had to enslave and bribe necromancers to work for him so that he could actually have armies of his own. But doing this, Brian, he became
a strong word. Brutally tortured.
but him not having skill in necromancy pretty much saves all of order, But anyways, with these necromancers and his army, he would wage incredibly brutal war against the Empire, eventually finding the Knights of Blood Keep. Along with these knights, Conrad the Beast found victory after victory with use of raw power and brute force. Truthfully, he was a terrible commander and not very smart at all, but so insanely ferocious was he and great were his knights that this often didn't matter. He was just OP enough to blunder his way to victory and just kill enough people. He slaughtered Averland's forces and even defeated the dwarfs of Zufbar, leading the charge that won the day. So incredibly evil, insane, and vicious was Conrad that the three claimants to the imperial throne at the time set aside their squabbling and banded together to face this threat. Around this time, Helmut was the likely emperor to be, but he had been cursed by Conrad's necromancer in a rare case of good planning by the Mad Count. Helmut began acting strange, and once his eye fell out and his skin was peeling away, they discovered that he was actually a zombie. The zombie emperor would flee, and Conrad, in a fit of anger being found out, slaughtered his way through Averland.
In your head, zombie. Copyright struck. Sorry. Couldn't help myself.
In 2021, whatever year that means in fantasy, I don't remember the term.
Damn, they had COVID as well.
Yeah. It was Conrad. In that year, though, the dwarves and empire allied with each other to face the butcher. Sadly, as the lines met, Conrad's army crumbled as the necromancers had betrayed him and fled. He did all he could, but was eventually captured by the dwarf hero Grufbar and slain by Elector Count Helmar, who was Grufbar. Somebody's son.
Love that name.
Was he the Elector Count of the previous emperor?
Guy that Conrad killed, it was his son that then and killed Conrad.
And did he went even madder because when the undead magic was unraveling, he tried to then take over and it like literally broke his mind, I think. Yeah.
Poor guy. My poor baby boy. But lastly, in the bloodline, and most recently, is Manfred von Karstein, who is commonly seen as the Erebus of Warhammer Fantasy because of the end times. And he is truly irredeemably evil.
He is also just a slimy person. Like, ignoring that. Like, he's a
and
slimy
he's
bastard.
Bold.
He's very bold.
All right, well, let's settle down now.
I'm just saying,
three of us are
if
on
we're
the
bold,
fast
you're
track.
A villain in Warhammer. That's all I'm saying. Fair. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man. So before Conrad, I will read. I think there's two donations.
I say between us three, me, Colin, and Eli, there must be enough forehead to actually make a bald man.
The Crimson Glory, thank you for the $5. Sorry to sidetrack, but Colin, do you want that UNSC ration pack? What does this mean? What is it?
I assume he has one.
Is that a thing?
We do appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, sir. Glory.
Thank you.
Well, Colin thinks about it.
Yeah, okay. Raw 66,
five,
thank you.
Yeah, $5.
Yeah,
thank you.
$5.
Yeah, I won't say no.
Vampires lose. Yeah. Is due to corpses need to be relatively intact for great use, and they seem to lack intelligence to use advanced tools. Therefore, artillery. Actually, though, Manfred at one point does siege something with artillery. It doesn't really work out, unfortunately. But they can have artillery, believe it or not.
Just
to let you know,
often.
Yeah.
If you saw me on my phone and things, I just ordered my costume for the Lore Crimes Halloween stream.
Nice.
Did look at ODST and then it was like you've got to get like the armor parts separately and I'm like I want it to be
they gotta be
assembled. So I've got something else but I think you're like
I got mine coming in. I am democracy's strongest soldier.
Nice.
Can we strip pub quiz? No, thankful. No, we cannot.
I don't think I can see my hairy nuts.
Oh my god,
I lose.
I don't want to embarrass anyone with my enormous Sigmarian schlong. Commander's Mighty Schlong or whatever it is.
Of Cygnus.
Of Cygnus Prime, yes.
We have Smashing Badger. Thank you for the £2 or euros. Vlad's only mistake was manlet. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Bean, thank you for the $2. Can Colin cover up that 4.5
head?
Dear God.
What does that mean?
Good God.
What's it out of?
Five head? What does that mean?
It's four like, head. More but, than four, like, bigger.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. Elliot Hoffs, thank you for the $10. My friends have been doing a 40K narrative, and one's custom chapter was nearly killed by the Eldar, but they teleported onto the craft world and planted a vortex grenade in the Infinity Circus. My gosh, to escape.
Savage.
In imagination, bad. They lose.
Those poor Eldar. Those poor Eldar.
Almost as badass as Artemis when he's just like, hey, you going to kill Slash? Sounds cringe. Screw you.
Instead. You can say that many words. They asked him, are you really going to stop us from killing a Chaos God? Yes.
Yes. Because it's cringe.
Reminded of the forehead joke. The bro, like, bro remembers what happens tomorrow.
I empathize with him because here's a story from my youth. There was a time I went to the corner shop. Back when I were 8 years old, I went to the corner shop and my mum was like, hey, you can have a Mars bar. And I said, I don't want a Mars bar. I want a king size Mars bar. And she said, no, you get the Mars bar. You don't get any Mars bar. And I went, it's a king size or nothing. So I respect Artemis because he stood on his principles. And that's a man of character.
It's crazy. Back then, the size of the Mars bar is twice the size of what it is now as well.
So. It was probably a regular size Mars bar.
Back when Freddo bars were literally 10 pence rather than 10 and a bit, which they are now, which is bullshit.
How we suffer.
Oh man, to be fair, the Death Watch job isn't to kill Chaos, it's to kill Xenos. Killing Slaanesh is the Grey Knight's job. Yeah, but he could have been not stupid. Like, he could have just helped save humanity right there.
No, he was just like, if we're gonna kill Slaanesh, we're doing it on our terms with a bolter. I respect that.
Yeah. Jeez. I do have the script for Dracula Flow right here. Just saying. Oh man. Okay, I'm gonna get back to Warhammer. So let's see. While Conrad waged his blood crusades, Manfred hid himself away in study, returning to Castle Dragunov with newfound knowledge and a dark tome. They say he was awake when Felix stole the von Karstein ring and spent long years searching for the thief. For a time, Manfred led the foolish mortals believe the power of Sylvania had withered away and was gone forever. He roamed the land, recruiting vampires all over the world to his cause. As the Empire fell into another civil war, he struck. Through the winter he marched, finding countless victories as the battered armies of the Empire hastily attempted a feeble means of defense. All who fled simply froze to death. Manfred arrived at a seemingly undefended Altdorf, but one man stood atop the battlements that would weave his defeat. Grand Theologus Kurt III had delved deep within the vaults of his temple to bring about the horrible Liber Mortis, whatever. He recited the incantations of unbinding, and Manfred was forced to retreat. He then sailed to Marienburg and attempted a siege, but hearing news of an army arriving from Altdorf, he was forced to lift it. For a long time, Manfred and the Empire's armies fought throughout the provinces, both powers waxing and waning, until finally the forces of order set foot in Sylvania. In a great battle, Manfred was cut down by Elector Count of Stirland, but his body sunk deep into the marsh and was never found. In 2522, so like 500 years have passed in all this time since Conrad, Manfred came back. He again traveled far and wide, gaining allies, and even studied in Lamia, the birthplace of his kind. He sought to bring about a new age with the resurrection of Nagash. It would take much to bring him to the physical world, however, for his soul now resided as basically a god. He would first seek out Krell and Heinrich, the two goats of vampire Warhammer fantasy. The High Elves, at this time, were on a diplomatic mission, and they had sent Eleathera to ally with the dwarves. Within Kerezekorak, this alliance was formed, but they were beset on three sides by orcs, Manfred, Krell, and Heinrich. As the orc army smashed upon the dwarves and elves and saw losses on both sides, Manfred sprung his trap. The armies of undeath emerged, and the forces of good were surrounded. The lions were destroyed, Krell wading into combat with his black axe as cavalry trampled dwarves and reached the inner lines of elven swordmasters. Bats plucked out the eyes of archers, and the black axe embedded itself into Thane Orgrim. Finally, the Lichmaster began chanting, and the fallen dwarves rose to their feet. The elven noble and her guard saw a weak spot in the undead lions and charged through to seek escape. Manfred finally revealed himself and swooped down atop a zombie dragon amongst the Terrorgeists to intercept them. He battled in aerial combat against Elf Prince Yul Luthien, Kimmler imbued the Terrorgeist with an unnatural speed, and they shot towards the elven princess. She incinerated one, but was knocked unconscious by another and taken away. As Manfred battled the prince, he was on the losing foot until the Terrorgeist soared overhead and dropped the corpse of Salinir the Proud like a bomb onto the prince, knocking him from the saddle as Manfred slew the griffin the elf rode upon, Heinrich resurrecting it before the corpse even hit the ground. This was the most important and first step in the plan to bring back Nagash, as they needed a pure, innocent soul to sacrifice. And thus concludes the brief history of the vampire counts. And now I'll let Colin and Hal talk about whatever they desire. Or recite Dracula, for your choice.
There's a few characters we are going to have a little dive in. We did mention, well, there's some of the big ones, list them off. There is, this is mostly vampire counts, but that we should mention a little bit. There's like another faction in Untouchable Warhammer called Vampire Coast. Yeah, the
trilogy. Where's Luther Harkon guy in the chat, by the way? I haven't seen him in a
bit. Hey, where's Explore? I remember.
Because there's a diabolical comment from DJ Beast as well about Colin's junk exploding.
Oh no.
What? Vampire Pirates might be the coolest thing ever. Honestly.
Vampire, to be fair, we could start with Vampire Coast, maybe, Colin, just a little bit.
Because that's say, a cool before, thing. Before we get into that, should we do the donations quickly?
Yeah,
sure, good.
So we had H. Mihia Live saying, poor head related, didn't Irvin Welsh write about a guy waking up with someone's swimmers on his forehead?
What?
Does anyone know what that meant?
Sperm.
I'm assuming that means sperm.
Well, context, yeah, but like, does anyone know what the exact...
No, not at all.
Oh, no, I have no...
I know nothing about this.
The official law crime statement is, we cannot confirm nor deny that statement. We think it's kind of funny, but we don't know if it's true or not. Also, Bean for $5, hit him with my Mitsubishi Outlander. Call him Manfred von Karstein.
Funny.
That's pretty good.
HB11, but again, saying Andy, Michael Phelps fit evaluation for Halloween. Is that Michael Phelps? Gosh, I barely know who that man is. He swims. He does the breaststroke.
He's got the most Olympic medals out of anyone ever.
Yeah.
For swimming.
That's pretty impressive.
That's impressive.
There's like 30 swimming.
Water does half the work.
Andy could do better. Andy could do better.
No, I'm asthmatic. I would not do better. But I'm just like, swimming.
Oh, I'm going to start. It's not like, relay.
Relay running. At least then, like, you don't
have to. How many Olympic medals you got, Andy? How many Olympic medals you got?
I got zero. But I will tell you this. Do you know what the Channel Island of Guernsey won in not this Olympics, but the last ones? You know, they got gold in.
Shooting?
What?
Dressage.
What?
Dancing horses. We won gold.
Dancing horses? That's a thing?
Yeah. I don't want to start a rant about why. Listen, if there are horses in the Olympics, why is there not like crafts like the dog stuff? The horse.
All I'm saying is, if I were in charge of the Olympics, I'd be like, if you can have dressage with horses, I want to do dressage with a bear. And if I eat if my bear eats the competition, I win.
I've posted all of the DJ Beast Twilight edits in the chat.
I've seen
it's a good video.
Also, Tom Warren says everyone loves vampires. Vampires are cool. And Raw 666, with necromancy being a thing, why factions do not burn corpses and why people wear skulls and skeletons? Also, why trust the Eldar who fired first? Eldar had his people attack Imperium World.
This man is insane. What are you on about?
Eldar did not
fire. That is factually wrong.
One of the example of Artemis.
Lorgar burned down a craft world.
No, I'm just saying, like, follow the example of Artemis. I could end all your species woes. But I'm not going to because that's cringe.
And for the corpse thing, it's they have like priests of Mor who generally defend the dead than graveyards, I think.
Also, Bunny Cops for $5 says, you're complaining about Twilight. Meanwhile, I was reading Dresden Files and his war with three vampire courts at that time. Get good, bros.
Wow.
Files, like the chief, like the strongest wizard of ancient times is even named Heinrich Kemmler. Like the guy's a big Warhammer fan.
Isn't there a TV show called The Dresden Files? And it was about a magician.
Sally Mandit in the chat. Holy frick. So he's my favorite Instagram account.
Truth
Nuke.
Stupid.
Thank you, brother.
Incorrect. Wrong.
Thankful. I can't even read out what you put there. I can't even read that out.
I can't even put it on the screen because we'll get.
Oh my gosh, we can't say that. We cannot say that. Reverse gender Twilight. Yeah, Twilight was reverse gender. Every guy in the world would understand it.
So Fanquil said, "Hal thinks." Hal thinks phone number was jujitsu. There we go.
Oh man, I dodged it.
Speaking of something me and Colin had touched on here, which is Vampire Coast, there's a certain man named, Huron.
Luthor Harkon. Luthor's
the other one. I'm going to say Luthor
on my Harkon.
Luthor Harkon was, in fact, one of the original boys that was in Nehekara with queen bee of vampires, I should say, with Neferata. And I believe he was he a cousin of another character as well? Because he was a merchant.
I think the way it happened was like they gave two people the same name or something, and then they like were like, they're cousins.
So he was in the undead city for a while, and then when eventually it all came down, it was all burning to ashes. He's one of the few people who managed to sort of escape. Some of the vampires got slaughtered, but he's one of the few to escape. And a lot of his lore is sort of mysterious until the point in which he was essentially locked within this coffin. I'm not missing anything out there, I don't think, before that, Colin. But he essentially was discovered by, I guess, are they pirates or are they just like a merchant?
They were, so he was on his coffin was on a merchant ship, which was then attacked and raided by Norskins, who stole everything on it, including his coffin, and then he woke up and killed them all.
And then sort of crash-landed in Lustria, which is basically what you can see on sort of screen off the audio listeners is sort of basically South America, but it's dinosaur land completely run by the Lizardmen. And essentially, he was taught to build a power base from resurrecting all the corpses of, you know, drowned sailors or basically fleets that they would attack. They would overtake pirate vessels and ships and have an undead crews. And Harkon would essentially, other vampires or other, like, say, men would eventually become power hungry, looking after Lustrian gold, because it's very famous for Lustria having lots of treasures and old one relics and old one gold. And eventually this would put up a faction called, essentially it's a loose conglomeration called the Vampire Coast. Even in the Total War games, it added in new characters as well, I think, the ones that are not even proper ones in the original lore books. Then there's also one like Count Noctilus, who is an actual one who claims to be a descendant from the Von Karstein bloodline as well. So there are other different vampires that sort of get completely like undead, like underworldy slash water pirated up. It's really cool faction to play Total Warhammer. And essentially, well, they have some end times lore, but we won't really get to that just yet. But yeah. Luthor Harkon's story sort of... Okay, sorry?
You forgot his full name.
Was it Admiral?
Luthor Harkon, Arch Grand Commodore, Admiral, Pirate King of the Vampire Coast, and Emperor of Lustria.
And also small wee woo because of all them titles. God be saying.
No, he deserves it. Fuck you.
Small wee woo.
The dude was pretty power hungry, and obviously, like most vampires, extreme ambition. But this ended up having sort of a backfiring when he tried to interact with some old world magic / old world devices. That actually is in one of the cutscenes for Total War Warhammer as well. They represent this moment where essentially it sort of shatters his entire brain and mind to the point where like he now has like multiple personalities. He can't interact with magic, if I remember correctly. His magic is...
No. He can still resurrect the dead, but aside from that, he's basically been turned into a blank. Like magic stops around him.
He's like Conrad, but he's a little bit more mad in the sense that Conrad's just like a raving beast, maniac, murderer, sociopath, psychopath, whatever. But Luther is a bit more like there's more than one guy knocking around in that brain at the moment. So he's an interesting character. His visuals to a T, but gorgeous. Love that guy. I don't think there's any other characters I missed. Is it Anessa? The one who's in Sartosa.
Aranessa Saltspite. She's not really a vampire, though.
I'm not really sure what her lore is. I don't know if she's... But they're somewhat vampire adjacent, though.
She's, like, blessed by Manon, I believe.
Donation. Oh, yeah. We'll read out donations in a bit, brothers. But there's also some... Yeah, so there are places like Sartosa, which is almost basically, like, its own version of what was sort of the Caribbean...
Tortuga-like
mm-hmm. cities where other vampires interact with and sort of the underworld... various places around the sort of old world itself and far beyond it, but there's mostly like the actual proper on screen's the way I want to put it, but like the open secret factions of vampires are the ones that are in the Empire, which is Sylvania, and then sort of the rumored vampire coast on the edge of Lustria. I will go into a little bit now. There are some characters we should mention. I don't know if Colin might fill in a gap here, but it's obviously there was Vlad von Karstein, big boy, who I've got a little bit of lore to go into. We talked about Manfred a bit as well. There's Conrad, my beloved. There's some smaller ones as well. There are other von Karsteins, which actually Conrad ended up killing, so they don't really have names anymore.
Manfred did a little bit of a rampant team killing to ensure he could become the head of the von Karstein dynasty.
Manfred also cleaned house as well. Isabella von Karstein, who is basically wrapped up with Vlad's story, so I will expand a bit on her. If this other one who's the leader, this is one I keep getting confused with Luther Harkon. He's a leader of the Blood Knights as well. Luft Huron is, my god, he's actually from 40k. Oh my god,
that's the space
marine. Yeah.
I kept confusing the two because they're the pirate lords. But there's also like Blood Knights, which is a really cool thing. I'll leave Colin to go into that because that's pretty damn, that's one of the coolest things in Warhammer Fantasy. But just leaving on the character that I want to expand on just a little bit more, which is Vlad von Karstein, who kind of, even though Manfred von Karstein is the one you'll mostly interact with in terms of like games and stuff like that, Vlad is definitely probably one of the more cooler characters, even though he's not necessarily in as many novels or other things. But his name was not originally Vlad von Karstein, as Eli talked about earlier. This man is old. He comes from the old land of Nehekara, which is like the ancient sort of basically real world equivalent of like the Egyptian kingdom in the Warhammer world. This is way before the formation of the Empire, long, long thousands of years. But this is after the death of the actual best human being to ever exist, which is Setra the Imperishable. Mm-hmm. Setra does not serve. Setra rules. Goes hard.
So cool. So cool character.
If anyone here is only somewhat familiar with Warhammer Fantasy, but they like 40k, there's no equivalent to like how cool Setra is in. There's no equivalent to Setra, unfortunately. But so Nagash, well, eventually he would join Nagash. But sorry, Vlad von Karstein was not born Vlad von Karstein. His name was Vashanesh, and he was somewhat like a lower sort of regular middling noble within the lands of Nehekara. This is sort of Bronze Age time, I guess, in some technological aspect. Sorry, I'm messing the comments, must be diabolical this one. I can see. But so Vashanesh was just essentially one of the servants of the Nehekaran kingdoms. Not really much, but he was ambitious, and he would eventually come into contact with the kingdoms of Neferata at a certain time, because there have been sort of rumors about something going wrong with that place, and there's been somewhat of a rebellion from the other kingdoms. And for reference, Neferata's kingdom was sort of on the far east of what the map is for Nehekara. So they're kind of on the outskirts, and they weren't really... It was more like a, you know, what's going on over there in that weird province. And he would come into contact with the old kingdoms and sort of the Neferatan vampire style.
I'm afraid to look in the chat right now because
they got some
fun. Leave!
Colin alone.
For the audio listeners, the chat has just been making Colin jokes for 10 minutes straight.
Why does my diet get it? What the fuck? I'm not even 250 pounds. I'm not 200 pounds.
Oh, Colin's land is unreal.
They're just like, they're raining in on the diabetic thing. That's all.
God, I admit I got a little bit more than I need, but I'm not.
Leave my son alone, or I will come get you, and I'll put you in the naughty corner.
Gosh, man.
All of you in the chat, naughty. No more.
Can we go back to you at least donating to bully me?
Yeah.
Being insulted for free.
You want to bully me? Pay me.
So Vashanesh was a talented military commander, and there's some discrepancy in the lore here whether if Neferata, when she met Vashanesh, either she saw him as a good potential husband, or he was simply just a good general to utilize in her army, or essentially just a vassal slash to the public husband, you know, because again, they're pretty somewhat, you know, this is old Nehekara, basically the men lead at this point. That's what they believe. So she was very much using him as a puppet. Again, there's a discrepancy in lore to whether she actually married Vashanesh or somewhat just turn him into a vampire. There's conflicting things about it. I don't know, Colin, if you know which one is the official count, because it's unfortunately like there's conflict between the two different.
The newer one was that he was part of her guard, right?
I think so. He ends up betraying the kingdoms of Nehekara to side with her because he was a bit power hungry, and she would eventually agree to turn him into a vampire. That's the sort of, again, this is like his ancient lore. This is a young Egyptian brother here, so he's pretty, you know, my man's got decisions to make. Eventually, at this time, there will be again one of the many rises of Nagash, which I talked about earlier. Not to go into the full war, but essentially Nagash would discover the existence of the vampires, and he would then make the vampires. I can't even read the comments. I just don't want to look. He would ally the vampires to him, but he actually chose for a leader the vampires instead of the first vampire being Neferata. They're so interchangeable. Neferata, instead of choosing Neferata, which she thought she rightly deserved, he actually chose Vashanesh. And this was, I do believe this was because Vashanesh was actually a descendant of Nagash for when Nagash was immortal. So he sort of favored him. Also, he was a bloke. So he sort of was like, yeah, I will just have you instead of Neferata. She didn't take too kindly to that. And he gave him something later.
It's not the way you said that. Like, he was just a bloke. He was just a geezer. He was a geezer.
He hadn't even been around for a little while. Meanwhile, like, the other vampires have been like, yo, someone else, you know what I mean? It's like the guy who's like the new employee becoming the boss. And you're like,
not being funny, mister, in your 20s, you've only been around for a little while. Yeah. That's the old man in the chat.
There's not that much age difference between us. But essentially, Nagash, all-powerful necromancer, would eventually gift Vashanesh with what would later become named the Von Karstein Ring, which is something that Eli had mentioned earlier. It's one of the ring pieces that will come up again. And this essentially gave him like true immortality. I think Colin mentioned at the beginning, like, the vampires in Warhammer Fantasy are not holy. Like, you can bonk these guys. Yeah. They can go down.
They don't age. Like, they're immune to sickness and all that stuff. So they're like biologically immortal, but if you get a big enough stick,
yeah, they'll go down. But essentially, this ring would allow, Vashanesh to control the vampires like a sort of hive mind. And after a while, it was working. They were essentially fighting against the kingdoms of Nehekara, but Vashanesh just realized like service under Nagash is almost not worth it. So he allowed himself to purposely get killed by Al-Khadizar, who was the sort of Nehekaran king. Again, there's so much lore to go into there. Check out our old Toon Kings episode if you ever need some context for that. But essentially, he would allow himself to purposely be killed, and then essentially this would temporarily break the connection of the Von Karstein ring controlling over the vampires, and then essentially they all, as Eli mentioned earlier, they scattered, and then because of this, there was other times when, you know, Nagash, again, because the vampires keep scattering, he would eventually curse them. Vashanesh would leave. Again, he would run leave the lands of Nehekara. And for many, many years, he would travel the essentially the world, just raining for artifacts, adventures, hanging out with the boys on the weekend. You know what I mean? And eventually he would pop up to the little old province of Sylvania. I think Eli mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, he shows up, handsome bastard. And then he goes in and says, you know, he turns up with 100 bottles of baby oil for the PD thing. And then Otto's little pimp house with 100 bottles of baby oil. And he would turn up and say, I'll marry your daughter. And then she mentioned at the time, just expand a little bit on when he met Isabella von Karstein. She's a little cray-cray herself. Like, people often thought she was a bit of a stray. Like, when suitors would come to offer to marry Otto von Drach's daughter, Isabella, they would thought she's a bit of a nutcase. She even broke some people's arms just because. She very much wanted to be a ruler herself. And then, you know, the greedy uncle in the corner just waiting for Otto to die so he can take over and take Isabella for himself. She would ask this man who now called himself Vlad von Karstein instead of Vashnesh, he would ask her what he could get her as a gift, and she basically said, I want that. And so he ran over to the uncle and then ripped his heart out and gave it to her. She held it in her hands, I believe, for a bit, and then dropped on the floor, and as a human started licking the blood and then kissed him. And he definitely thought, man, this girl is nuts.
I can fix her.
As someone who doesn't know the context, was he also like, I'm into it, or was he like disgusted?
Oh yeah, he's very much like, this person is not a vampire, but they are. Something's wrong with them in a good sense.
Guys, stop talking about Colin Milk in the chat.
Colin Milk.
Yeah, they've been saying that. Like, that's been the new thing.
It's all Fanquil's fault. Fanquil is propagating Colin's slander. Fanquil
started it. Now it's everyone else is running with it.
Leave him be.
Well, essentially, Vlad would turn up and he would be in the province of, you know, the doomy, mist-filled province of Sylvania. That's already a massive shithole. And as Eli mentioned earlier, he somewhat turned it around. At a certain point, he fell in love with Isabella, and to the point where when she kind of worked out what he was, because again the dude just didn't age and she was aging, she asked, will you turn me into a undead so we can spend eternity together? And he actually initially refused, if I believe Colin correctly. He refused because he didn't want her to live the immortal existence.
No, he didn't want to turn her into a vampire.
This is just Twilight.
Came out in like 1990. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, he didn't want her to suffer the way, like, he just living in a more, you have to be built for an immortal existence because otherwise it's just pain. So he didn't want her for that. She didn't take that well. She eventually, it's somewhat implied that she made herself ill so that eventually when no doctors or priests of Sigmar that he called in, you know, this one time to try and save her, they failed. He literally locked himself in the room and then eventually she reawakened as an undead. When you receive the blood kiss, if I remember correctly, you have to then go quick because they essentially, it's a taking a portion of the vampire who's turning you, their blood. Depending on how much you take is how powerful you can be as a vampire. And when Isabella did it, she's a bit of a, she took too much, and then they also had to go out on their first hunt for a human blood. But eventually she ended up snacking on a dire wolf, if I remember correctly, wasn't it? She, like, her, and he said, like, he literally looked at her and went, that's weird. Like, he said, like, this is not good. Oh god, do you want to read out some donations? I feel like it's been diabolical.
There's some diabolical. Can I just do this because I most of these are Colin.
I put them on the
and he's got it on the screen, Colin.
Oh, perfect. Donkey Man USA, $2. The Dracula Flow now.
At the end of the stream.
Feeling it. H. Mila BGN, Eli Dracula on that flow, Berk City next stream. Bean, Nagash.
Come on.
Come on. We can't even say that.
The power of Nagash. as he flies his flying pyramid into the twin spires.
Moving Lord, swiftly on.
Lord Finnebar, there's been a second flying pyramid. The smashing badger, Argon is a corked up white boy living his truth. Hell yeah. Ijmilov, Nikato lost 250 pounds. What's your excuse? I don't have 250 pounds to lose. That's my excuse.
If he lost that, he would be a grain of sand. Come on.
He'd be like negative 75.
Oh, gosh.
Donkey Man, you as anyone put this all in the Astartes Anonymous milking room for bullying.
Yeah, I'll do it. Don't test me.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Extra media. This is insert Colin slander here. There we go. That's all you needed.
Sample text. Yeah.
H me a love, my favorite. Colin lactates, so Techless won then. Yep.
Thank you all for the donation.
Thank
you, but also naughty.
The audience is out here just for you guys. You might not know, we have our resident boy Thankwall. Man's glorious name is Thankwall in the chat.
And resident this guy man on watch list.
Every time we are live, this man absolutely just is completely roasting us the entire time. I mean, I don't, some of the things we can't even say. It's been ridiculous. Where was I again? So essentially, Isabella, Gluck Gluck 3000, all that direwolf juice, and it was bad. So she was a bit. Something is quite wrong with her in terms of, like, she's extra vampire in terms of, like, she really has, like, some kind of even more, like, Vlad's like a refined being who, as Eli said earlier, he was like kind of a good ruler in the sense that he didn't lash out or he wasn't mad like Conrad, whereas Isabella definitely is a little bit something. She, her love for Vlad encompasses the level of, like, it's creepy girlfriend level, like, it's insane. As Eli mentioned earlier, obviously not to rehash it too much, they had the first vampire wars, which ended up with Felix Mann, who took the ring from, well, the ring of Von Karstein, which you're probably wondering earlier, like, why does Vlad keep coming back after he got his head cut off? Because it was the Von Karstein ring that Nikash had forged that kept bringing him back, whereas other vampires would have died. In fact, one time he died and then other vampires tried to take over whilst Isabella was cast tonic, and then he just sort of reappear and then he cut off the other guy's head. Felix Mann, the greatest thief of the age, would take the ring from him. Meanwhile, there's a small part here. There was someone awake within the tent, which was supposed to be guarded during the day whilst the vampires slept. Someone had their eye open. If anyone clearly wants to guess who that might have been, someone was watching it happen. Goku was not watching it, but it was definitely Manfred. Manfred had his eyes open when the whole thing was watching and didn't intervene. So he's a truly betrayed everyone. And as Eli mentioned earlier, the great theologist, when Vlad woke and he was pissed off, he just thought, I'll finish off Altdorf, the capital of the empire, now. And the great theologist and him just plummeted to their deaths and they impaled themselves on spikes. And he wouldn't resurrect until the time of the end times when Nagash, I think, would pull him from the blood of Manfred von Karstein, if I remember, Colin. I think that's how he got resurrected. Or I don't know if Nagash resurrected him just out on a whim.
I think Nagash might have just been like, Vlad's very competent. You're coming back.
Yeah, because, and then...
To be fair. Vlad, yeah.
And then Vlad would go fight besides the forces of order against Chaos, because, you know, enemy of my enemy is my friend. He would eventually plummet to his death after the corrupted soul of his beloved Isabella von Karstein was resurrected by Nurgle, and did he put the von Karstein ring upon her so that when she would die again, she would resurrect pure and free of the taint.
Nurgle's taint.
So he once again died for Isabella. He's, again, just a few last things about him. He has a cool, again, the von Karstein ring was like one of his artifacts. I believe Isabella possessed a certain grail that kept refilling with blood that she constantly drinks from. Yep. I remember the name of it. I think he... what was the Vlad von Karstein sword again? Was it called Blood Drink? I think it was called... He possessed a special sword that was essentially... I think he had a sword that was pretty good, if I remember correctly. It's not Blood Drinker or something, but I remember it has a name.
Sword of Unholy Power.
Nice.
Very generic in game, but I think it's
okay. All right.
But there are some other characters who have like cooler artifacts. If I know not to go into Manfred too much, but Manfred's armor, I believe, and was forged from the dead vampire dust of his other brothers. DJPs. So essentially the health and like the benefits of like the his vitality of Manfred von Karstein was improved by his armor of the Tempelhof, if I remember correctly, or was it armor of
Dracula? That's Manfred's.
And his sword was unique as well, if I remember correctly. It's we can see it in the visuals of the Vampire Counts trailer as well. And he also possesses the Books of Nagash, which are somewhat interwoven between the Vampire Counts and the Vampire's story, because many of them come into contact with the Tomes of Nagash. Unfortunately, the sweaty, smelly human skin books, likely. But as for other characters, again, there's like Manfred. I don't know if Colin wants to add in any more about Manfred, because again, he's got things to say.
So I'll give him the slight amount of credit that he does deserve. He is a very powerful wizard, very intelligent person. When he isn't being used to destroy the setting, the unfortunate thing is he's already a slimy, spiteful weasel. So he was the perfect character for GW to go, yeah, this guy's enough of an asshole that we could use him for this. And so he stabbed Gelt in the back end of the world. There's also, because there was some a little bit of retconning at one point, he came back in two ways. I do not know the second way he returned. It might have just, like, I think it was just some cultists were like, hey, this guy, Manfred, real powerful guy, let's resurrect him. And then he, you know, killed them because he's way above their pay grade. The first one was that there was this necromancer trying to bring him back, which presumably would have gone the same way. He had to, you know, he had to sacrifice a virgin to bring him back, some real classic pulp fantasy stuff, when it was interrupted by none other than the dynamic duo of Gotrek and Felix, who killed him instead. But apparently this guy had also, you know, never gotten laid in his life. So his blood spilled onto Manfred's corpse, brought him back. He woke up, looked at the two, realized he was in a Gotrek and Felix story, and promptly fled. So that's funny. Arguably, depending on what lore you go by, Manfred's first act upon re-resurrection was to run like a bitch.
Also, imagine spilling on Manfred. That's cringe.
Swimmers on Manfred's forehead? He sucks. He is back in Age of Sigmar. Unfortunate. We will never be free. His first action, I know it's not quite the same, but his first action in Age of Sigmar was to start a civil war between dwarf clans. So don't worry, he's still Manfred. He also brags about how he had a part in blowing up the previous world in Age of Sigmar. He is he's not gotten better.
God, I just despise him though. But the, I mean, there's some other weird things about, particularly what with Manfred, like when the time of Conrad was essentially rising to power, Manfred essentially just effed off and he traveled down south to find more books of Nagash. Essentially, I believe he came in contact with the Tomb King, so he ended up fighting like an undead war where they just threw hordes of skeletons at each other. No one could really win it except for when basically Manfred ended up losing and he had to run. Ended up finding more books of Nagash, and would at some point, I mean, was it the second way he also came back? Was like supposedly he got stabbed by the Rune Fang, which is like, for some context of people, the Empire, like the elect accounts of the Empire essentially have the original forged like dwarf special swords that actually are able to strong enough to put down even really strong characters. And he was, when he was struck down by that, he sunk into the mud of the, is it Essen or the swamp.
It was a near swamp, the like town of Essen. The name of it is a Hellfen.
He sunk down into the swamp. Ooh. And you thought he was down for the count, but eventually he would somehow claw his way out of a swamp over centuries later.
to be fair, they did actually kill him. Like, his body was still intact, so they could pretty easily, if they got the body, could resurrect him. But he was dead. Like, properly dead.
The last thing I can think of is there are some really cool locations for the vampire adjacent factions in the Warhammer world. Obviously, Drakenhof is a cool place. I don't know how to describe Drakenhof, like Castle Drakenhof. It's kind of, that's the one with the what's the weird guy who lives in it, Colin, if you remember correctly. Oh, he's literally, for people who are already listening, this guy is, you might look it up.
Is it the, oh God, I think I know who it is. Hang on. God, what's his name?
It's a somewhat older piece of lore, but it's a very strange character, such vampire adjacent character who lives in this very strange temple.
We might be thinking of two different people, actually.
I think I am, possibly, but he also helped serve alongside Nagash in the end times as well.
Oh, Drakenfels, that guy?
Lord Drakenfels?
He's from, oh God, in the end times he was called the Nameless, but it was very heavily hinted that it's Drakenfels.
I don't know how to describe it.
Weird. He's from old enough Warhammer lore where his lore is he bossed the Chaos Gods around into giving him unlimited demon armies because he was just that powerful.
I can't even read what Thank was putting in the chat. But yeah, Drakenhof is what I meant. Drakenhof is the capital of what would be the lands of Sylvania. Sort of the powerhouse grounds of where Vlad and Manfred and Conrad use their, like, their home base, essentially. There are lots of strange undead creatures that live in the crypts, and amongst them things like Vargles, which are like human hybrided with vampires, where they're like massive flying batmen, essentially. Vargeist, which are a much more of like just a large bat, horrific creatures, as well as lots of untoned.
Did you mean our chat?
Yeah,
they are horrible to us.
I'm reading it right now. Okay.
And the last thing I can, also other ones like Castle Tempelhof, which is like a more adjacent region as well, which is often used as like a staging ground for when vampire counts wish to make incursions into the lands of the Empire. Poor guys themselves. The Vampire Coast regions as well. I can't remember the name of the capital, but essentially where Luther Harkon has his base of operations. There's a strange place underneath in the middle, right in the middle of the ocean, which Count Noctilus in Total War Warhammer uses. I assume it's some sort of like vampire, or their version, like a vampire bay. As we mentioned earlier, it was Sartosa, which is an island of the north of Araby / south of the... what's Talaya and Estalia called again, Colin? It's the, not the Southland.
The place like by those two, the Border Estalia? Princes?
Border Princes. Like, well, no, so what's the land been, what's that land called with all the...
Oh, Araby?
No, the one between, the one which
is
has
Talaya. Where like all the orcs are?
No, what's Estalia, Talaya, and the Border Princes land called again?
I don't know if it's called anything particular. I think it's just part of the old world.
Essentially between Araby and the southern part of the old world lies this sort of island kingdom. Again, it's like this essentially is like mercenary such merchant heaven such haven. There's lots of vampire.
It's called Guernsey. There you go.
Yeah.
There's a vampire like haven sort of around there. And then Colin, do you want to finish off talking about some units and other things about the Vampire Coast or Vampire Council?
I'd be happy to. Won't go like super in depth on everything because there's a lot of units, but I'll just briefly mention like kind of the roster. So the obviously, you know, generally a vampire is going to be in charge of the whole thing. Vampires, you know, they use their magic to resurrect the corpses and basically keep the army together, very much literally. They often will recruit necromancers to help with this and take the stress off them a bit. But the thing to keep in mind when the vampires go to war is that if you kill the vampire and or enough of the necromancers they've got helping them, the army's literally going to fall apart, which is why you were saying, Eli, earlier, how does the vampires lose? because you kill like five guys and then the whole thing just falls apart from under them, which to be fair, they plan for, like they make sure the big horde of undead is between you and them. And like by physical strength standards, Manfred is a little bitch. He can still rip a man in half with minimal effort. Like vampires in Warhammer get boosted to be like space marine level strength. So that's how they stay alive. It's just if you kill them, they're falling apart. Aside from that, go to a spirit Halloween, and any decorations you find is probably part of the vampire army. Skeletons and zombies are like the, you know, the classic just garbage undead horde, and they're exactly what you think: skeletons, weapons, and zombies. Zombies don't. I don't think they actually infect you when they bite you, but it is a rotting corpse. So you know, I hope you enjoy sepsis. They got, you know, big giant bat swarms, dire wolves to chase after you. They do have some elite stuff, grave guard, which are, you know, like just juiced up skeletons, basically nothing super special. Like ghosts, like what is it? Like the classic image of like, you know, the four horsemen or the Grim Reaper riding a ghost horse. Very cool. Hallie mentioned, yeah, those are the hex wraiths. Mm-hmm. They're so cool. Blood Knights, yeah. You mentioned her. Oh,
whites as well. Whites, as in like, yeah. Not in like white people, as in whites, as in the undead creature.
They're like undead heroes, like who are especially powerful. So the vampires resurrect them, and they're like super elite warriors on the battlefield.
Oh yeah, that's what they are. Yeah.
Shout out to Krell, who's a man of ungodly strength and in life. When they made him a undead white, the dude can literally tank on an army by himself. Truly cool.
Dude went 1v1 with Sigvald and was like, no, you're getting your shit rocked. Sigvald did kill him, but Krell got his piece in. They got Blood Knights for some cavalry, which are just a heavy metal album cover. They're the one of the vampire bloodlines is Blood Knights, founded by Abharash, real cool guy. Their whole thing is they seek out worthy foes, both for, you know, honorable knighthood battles, and also because it works on dragons, might work on other things. If they can drink the blood of a dragon, they no longer need to drink blood, which Abharash found out when he killed a dragon. So they look for worthy foes, both for the challenge and to maybe free themselves from arguably the worst part of their curse. Undead dragons, things called Abyssal Terrors, which are undead dragons, but made in a chop shop, just from like random corpse parts, basically, they found to make that's a terror geist, pardon me. If you've seen a horror movie, they've probably got it in their roster. Like they've Crypt Ghouls, one of my favorites. I don't know why. I think they remind me of Left 4 Dead Crypt Ghouls, like because they're living beings, but you know, they did a little bit of cannibalism. They went a little bit insane, and they follow the undead around and just bum rush people and beat them to death.
They are from the bloodline of Usharan, isn't that?
Those are Strigoi. Crypt Ghouls can just be people. They'll follow a Strigoi vampire around because they're on the same mental wavelength of eat feral people, beast. Unga Bunga. Yeah. But they're not vampires. They're living beings, I think for balance reasons. I don't know if Eli, you would know. Do Crypt Ghouls count as undead for tabletop rules?
Well, I mean, I guess. I got the thing. I think they do, yeah.
They do in Total War.
I got the freaking book right here.
They are technically alive. Which is real saturation death magic.
They do have the undead special rule.
Gotcha. So they're so messed up that they're close enough. And usually the general vampire strategy is throw 5 million zombies at you. They're horrible because they're a zombie. But they're going to tire you out, and then the Grave Guard and the Blood Knights and all the proper units will come crash down on you. Andy looks like he just read the chat.
It's kind of like budget Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't know if that's...
I'm reading the message.
That's what had me for a second.
Funny.
It's over, Anakin. I have the IP.
Have your IP address.
And any further questions, either roster related or I guess in general, although this was like a three-way expert section. Andy, any questions?
I to be honest, I've just been amusing myself reading the chat, being like, oh, what slander are they mentioning today?
Oh, it's truly awful.
But like I have a question. It might sound like really surface level, but like how have the vampires transitioned into Age of Sigmar? Like, what's that about?
Kind of, there's a little bit of differences in how like the bloodline specifics and exactly how the curse of vampirism works, but on like surface level, still drink blood, still, you know, don't like the sun, don't like Sigmar's holy power. They came about because Nagash was once again kind of like at first was like, I could use some more intelligence servants. So he brought back Arkhan, who's not a vampire, but he did bring back Neferata, Manfred, and Usheron. So Neferata and Manfred spread the curse of vampirism. Usheron didn't because he pissed off Nagash early in the settings, like prehistory, and Nagash locked him in a cage until he went insane. And now we have the Flesh Eater courts.
I love how he brought back Manfred, not because he thought he could use him, but to torture him.
Yeah, Manfred serves like the three-way purpose of keeping his other vampires in line because he's such a scheming rat. He is, again, Manfred is a pretty intelligent, powerful guy, so that's part of it. But also, yeah, he is a stress ball. Whenever Manfred messes up, he just grabs him and...
I have two mentions about like the trailers we've been watching. One, when you see a Sigil of Chaos, why not pick it up? Just not being funny.
The advisor is like cursed and stuff.
Yeah, but he's silly. He's like, oh, there's clearly a Nurgle.
It's like saying, why didn't you not watch Live League?
I don't know. Why didn't a lot of things? Why didn't a lot of people not do something chaos related?
The other thing was I really enjoyed the bit where it was the Norska faction trailer and there were bears and the bears were doing a good job and one smiled at the lady in charge. I'm like, bears are my favorite animals. I think like
that might have been Kislev.
Oh, sorry, Norska. Kislev. Which one's Norska?
Norska's the chaos worshippers. Kislev is...
Oh, no, not them. They're both like icy.
Yeah, they are. Right? Kislev is grab every country in Eastern Europe and just jam them together.
Yeah. Kislev, the trailers, where it's just the bears going, I ate a chaos worshipper. Good bear. That's a good bear.
I beg of you, please stop.
Oh my gosh. We should probably read some donations right now.
Yes, I have them. Oh, sorry, we have the donations, and we have one last segment at the end here. Tom Warren for the $5. Actually, there are two different Godric and Felix stories where he is revived and runs away like a little biff before Godric can get him. Didn't know that. That's quite cool. Incoming back up again. Thank you, brother, as always. I think the Flesh Eater Court are a perfect combination of classic vampire tropes with an incredibly cool twist. Mm. Truly a great faction. All hail the Summer King and Boingob. Thank you, brother. Extra medium for $5 says, and these days, Drakenfell makes what YouTube videos about naval shit? I don't know. The Smashing Badger for £2. Thank you, brother. Says the.
Oh my god!
That Usha Russi hitting so good it made me a schizo.
Jeez.
Mr. Milov again for the Bulgarian something. Beginner to expert on Chinese steel.
Oh my gosh.
By the way, for the first time, I actually watched Skibidi Toilet. I actually don't get it. I was like, what the hell is going on? I honestly don't understand why there's that many people who have watched.
Well, did you watch like the first ones? Because those were just pure brain rot. Then the guy learned how to animate.
I mean, insane. As a fan of TF2 shit posts. It's the next progression to that, but I don't abide it. I'm still like, no.
I just can't believe how unbelievably positive the comments are. That people are like, yeah, look at me, so much better. And I'm like, going,
decisive cameraman victory.
Oh, it's truly horrible. following up from last week, guys, it's the question of the week. For everyone who made it so far for the donation, thank you so much. Last week we did ask what Warhammer makes you wet. Yes, in fact, Eli, we did say that. So we got some ones that we're going to go through here. The first one we was by at Akuma Making One, hashtag wet, the ability to 3D print our miniatures that don't cost a few internal organs from the bloated pigs at Games Workshop. Jesus Christ, that was a lot. I forgot I picked this one. Why pay £100 for a single blueberry marine when you can print out 10 for the same thing for half that price? It's a big point, Reese, because I think in recently the rise of proxy models for a lot of things has been pretty high. Just because, again, the level, like, it costs what it used to cost 10 years ago to have Warhammer stuff, and it's a bit more, yeah. But again, GW can't be beaten in some modeling things. Like, that new Skaven model is glorious, but shout out to my proxied 8-bound. For World Eaters, shout out to that. I was thinking of that, my beloved. At DJ Beast, our beloved, our brother in arms. Hashtag wet. Call me Tech Knight from the boys because all the holes in the Tyranid bioforms be looking very appealing.
Oh, what a
big turtle sweep. That's the Eisner thing. So shout out to Turtle. Thank you, DJ Beast. As always, we love you. At Rarest Pepe again. Regular, we love you. Hashtag wet. What makes me wet about Warhammer is I get to see Colin getting bullied either personally or by those more skilled in the art, like DJ Beast, who I salute. Shout out to Thankful Free as well. And
at least that one's a comment, so it's engagement. I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. Ace Shot UU7YX says hashtag wet. The Demonculaba and the Skaven breeders make me wet. Jesus. I literally cannot stop pissing myself out of sheer terror from their existence. A cold sweat runs down my body at the very idea of them and the lack of heat brought about from my body ceasing all movement causing condensation to form on my body. Those two things make me wetter than any fan art of any elf or sister ever could. One of these is kind of like, it's not a good thing, but yeah, if the people who unironically like that stuff is scary. That does leave me, the thing that leaves me sleeping at night, not able to sleep at night, is the Luft Huron putting a guy inside like a thing behind his throne, which is he put him on a life support machine behind his throne in a space that he can't move or get out of, and it's completely pitch black and you can't hear anything, and he's literally will be stuck. Is his space marine? So he'll be stuck there for all eternity. Absolutely horrible madness. With that being said, though, that guy's was Vampire Counts. Hope guys, he maybe didn't know as much about Warhammer Fantasy. You guys appreciate that one.
Would you like me to mention the new question?
Yes, I almost forgot about it again.
Yes.
So the new question of the week is hashtag lockup. You're locked in a room with Edwin von Karstein.
Manfred von Karstein.
Sorry. You lock up Manfred von Karstein with someone in the setting. It's going to be 40K or fantasy. Like, who would you lock him up with?
And what happens?
The question of the week. And what happens when you did so? So, for example, I would lock Manfred with... I'd lock him up with... Lehman Russ. Why not? See what happens.
Well, to bore him to tears.
This isn't a salamander's book, Hal. There's nothing boring going on with Lehman.
I'm looking forward to all the lock him up with Colin comments.
Yeah.
No, he's not the war.
Colin Milk, as we said earlier.
I'll lock him up in a fucking... Who am I locking him up with?
I know who I'm doing immediately. It's Amos from the Inquisitor Eisenhorn novels, because this guy will not shut up. And he would talk about why is grass a certain pigment. So this guy is like a true nutcase. And I think Manfred, with the inability to kill him, would probably be driven insane.
I have a question then, Hal. Do you know where that, like, is it the tangerine joke with Khal Drogo? Where does that come from? I'm unfamiliar.
TTS, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Just TTS. It's not a real thing then. No. It's made up fanfic. Okay.
Like Sly Marbo just elbow dropping on the farce. Yeah.
Also, I should mention to all of you is we've recently, at expense to the channel, had some art commissions for some lovely t-shirts and mug designs in our shop. Colin, what's going on?
TJ beast me.
Oh no.
Oh god.
TJ beast undercut us again. What's he done?
Beast, I remember.
Send it to me now.
What is that? Oh,
what's he done?
Let me see this.
That was an important moment. TJ beast. Oh, for fuck's sake.
What is
this? TJ beast.
Post on the chat for someone. People post in the chat.
Don't post it in the chat. Don't post it in the chat.
I'll just send this to you, Hal.
I'm gonna do it now.
He put me in your ideal first date, bro. What has he sent me?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna share it, but just know, DJ Beast, I was doing an important announcement there, and now you've overshadowed it with whatever this is.
Anyways,
Important announcement. We should probably say at the beginning, we forgot. We have something that we've been working on for you boys, for the boys who are there for the live ones. We appreciate you guys so much, and for all the other audio listeners and the watchers as well, and all the people who are able to watch us on Amazon and on Spotify. We've cooked a little something. I guess there's obviously more to come, but we've just been working on something here. Andy, do you want to slightly explain what you cooked up?
Huh? Andy? What were the designs?
Yeah. God, I took
So we talked to Witch Taunter, who did he's done all the art for all of our podium designs, all the guests and stuff. And we basically said to him, like, hey, can you make like a cool design of us? Or with the kind of like law crimes in front of the police. It was very Guardians of the Galaxy inspired, in front of the, like, what's that called when you're in front of like the police height lines?
Mugshot? Like a mugshot? Yeah.
Yeah, like the mugshot design, so that you can now get a t-shirt, a hoodie, and some other designs. Eli has helped with that specifically because Eli knows how to do merch, and we're all merch ignorant, so we're like, we don't know what we're doing. So Eli has helped very much, and so yeah, you can buy a t-shirt or a hoodie or other things, and we'll add more if you want us to add more stickers. Yeah,
someone's put what the WTF.
Don't be distracted by DJ Beast memes.
Shout out to DJ Beast, shout out to Milov, yep. Shout out to the regulars. We've got, if you want to represent in person your degeneracy, we have some. We actually have merch.
It took us a while, but theoretically, I don't know if we've linked it with the YouTube yet, but there will probably be a merch.
It should be because I've checked recently. It should be underneath like all of our posts. There's like a bar where they have like merch stuff, so you can just get it through that through fourth wall. So if you'd like to support the channel,
yeah.
Talk about a bit more coming up.
I think we'll stop talking about the Lore Crimes Arch, bro. Please. I've seen all the comments. I've seen them all.
Oh, with that being said, though, maybe we should wrap up.
I think we already had something about towers
earlier.
I think the people deserve a Dracula flow.
Okay.
All right, go on.
I'll put the fangs in even so that we don't get, so that YouTube doesn't hear all the words or our throat. All right. I'm moving different. This shit ain't nothing to me, man. I'm a dog. I'm biting the fart bubbles in the bath. It's over. We smoking symbiote, smoking that Whoopi Goldberg South Egyptian Fur Burger Deluxe Mega Million Scratcher Skunk Bubba Kush. We smoking dung beetle. I'm on 12 Vicodins. Smoking on Scooby-Doo dick. We smoking sequa Banshee boogers. We snorting that good Buffalo Soldier Tamarind Jordanian Jibbles. Jibbies. They must have amnesia. They forgot that I'm him. That Burberry backwoods pack hitting that pussy smell like a Hellcat V8. We smoking shiz in a glass pipe, blowing the Lord's bubbles. I'm sick in the head. I'm on them. Broward County Tic Tacs. I'm on them. Georgetown Geronimos. I'm on them. Nashville Nibblers. I left my Margiels in the Ben's trunk. I'll have to stunt on them next time. I don't give a F if I go blind. I don't need to see the price tag anyways. I'm high on 12 Jason Bournes, looking to beat the cum out of that thick, fresh oak. We smoking filtered crack, you stupid piece of shit. I'll even kill you. Call that pussy the Matrix, because I'm in this bitch and I can't get out. Last guy who ran off on the pack got choked out by some Givenchy gloves. The last thing he ever saw was the price tag on them. Slowly faded into darkness, and I let the archangels take him. I need more sequia banshee boogers. Don't be shy, girl. I love me some pastrami mud flaps. I'm moving like French Montana. Han, welcome to the Cream Kingdom, bish. Open up Black China. I drink her piss out of another man's ball. No. By shooter a crackhead, he looked like Woody Harrelson. You ain't seen 10 bands in your life. Jid, reach for my neck. You'll get turned into an example. Y'all gotta stop playing with me, man. I threw diamonds at the strip clubs under the Great Pyramids. I pushed a camel through the eye of a needle. This shit ain't nothing to me, man. Tied the ops to the back of a truck hawk and dragged them around the block for 24 hours, mother effer. Look like a Resident Evil 5 campaign extra after we was done with him. Also, on some initiative, blew up their entire quadrant. I'm moving like Oppenheimer. She dropped the ass on me from an agrogonous angle and thought I was Stephen Wallace, top shelf Zaza. Disrupted my circadian rhythm. I have seen the Magna Carta. I was slipping bricks for Mansa Musa before y'all even became I type 1 civilization. This shit ain't nothing to me, you stupid piece of shit. Wrong way and you will perish. That pussy feel like Biscoff butter. You think I care about this? Ask me if I care about this shiz, because I don't give a shiz. If I had a dollar for every time they said I gave a shiz, I'd be broke, because I don't give a shit. My bitch looked like David Hasselhoff. I balled so hard, they thought I was an effy nutsack. This shiz ain't nothing to me, man. I'll kill you, you stupid piece of shit.
That Zaza threw me off my circadian rhythm.
That was something. My word.
There's Dracula flow for you, chat. I hope you liked it.
We have a big shout out and a round of applause to everyone for Eli representing, especially today. He dressed up like Dracula.
He committed.
Oh,
yeah, God. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I need to lie down after that. DGB says he's already doing an edit of that. Thank you, everyone.
I told you guys it'd be a peak lovely episode.
If you guys made it this far, you have to like after that. You have to like the video.
Come on. We've earned it.
Come on. Eli's earned it.
Thank you for the 100 at the beginning as well.
Thank you so much, Glory. God bless you. Holy cow.
Thank you so much. That being said, everyone, we'll catch you guys on the next one. We've got some cool stuff coming. And we hope you all enjoyed the episode, particularly if you want more Warhammer Fantasy. You got to let us know, because obviously 40K is the big one, but we do like Fantasy. We do.
Fantasy's good. It's the best.
We're ranting about it.
Oh, my God. We'll catch you guys all on the next one. Peace. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.